always do.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Live in Vegas, Circa Resort Casino is your spot. Mitch Moss along with Dustin Sweetelson here on a Wednesday. Busy hour on tap coming up in 15 minutes. We still have a plethora of games in Major League Baseball to attack. We'll break those down for you, tell you some of our best bets in 15 minutes. Plus, some injury news to get to in the National Football League and how you might be able to attack that from a betting perspective. We'll begin National Football League here as well. You know, every year we have such turnover now at the head coach position. And it used to be like, oh, my God, we're getting five or six brand new coaches, or should I say first year coaches, not all rookie coaches overall. This year, that number is 10. And it feels like now for the last couple of years, it's been hovering 8, 9, 10. I think this is going to be commonplace moving forward where it's not going to be 3 or 4. It's always going to be 8, 9, or 10.
Oh, no, and the idea of guys being gone after 2 years, Aaron Glenn was this close last year
for
being
sure.
Gone after a season.
Oh, so we've had one and dones.
Yeah, there's been plenty of them throughout the years now. The instant gratification, there is no more like laying the land, building the foundation, and starting this thing from the ground up. You are expected to improve the team right away and look more competitive your first year. If not, you're on the hot seat in year two.
Aaron Glenn, if it doesn't go well, and probably won't by like Thanksgiving, he might be done this year immediately.
In week 8.
Honestly.
Yeah. And you know what? So I don't know if that I'm a little higher on them. I think they're going to be way more competitive. I do think that they're going to, but he may get in the way of that. TBD. And if he knows how to coach.
Wait, did you pick the wrong week to stop sniffing glue?
I think the roster is better. I think the roster is.
Did you watch the Jets play last year with him as the head coach?
What was the quarterback play?
Is it going to be better this year?
I mean, Geno Smith does leave a lot to be desired, but it's an improvement is my point.
Like what?
No, it's bigger than that.
Is it? Are we sure?
Oh, you're like my ex-girlfriend measuring.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, Packers, Lions, Bears, 3 out of the first 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? So he might be gone by week 5. If they're getting pounded into oblivion on it, I mean, especially when they play at Tennessee, if that doesn't go well against a team that has low expectations in their own right.
It's fair. Yeah. It's fair. I know I'm on an island here. I think they're going to show a little bit of fight here because they kind of have to.
So you like the Jets more than you like the Dolphins?
Oh, I think the Dolphins are offensively tanking in front of our eyes. I think they're not even trying to hide it. Go look at who Malik Willis is supposed to throw the ball to. I get he's a mobile quarterback. He's going to have to complete some passes. Tutu Atwell is a gadget player. Jalen Tolbert was like the fourth receiver in Dallas. They drafted the kid Chris Bell out of Louisville, who I like, but he was injured all last year. I don't know how they're completing passes for like chunk plays through the air. Teams are going to sit back and just take them apart. Also, the defense got worse. I think they got younger. They made some smart draft picks. I think that team is so intentionally trying to guarantee that they control which quarterback they take in the draft next year.
And I'll tell you this, there's a good chance that Halfley is a one and done candidate or 2 years max and they move on and they go a different path.
I don't understand the hire still.
I don't get it at all.
He interviews well? Because the job interview, that's like someone interviewing someone to host at VSiN, right? They're going through, they haven't listened to the demo and they go, oh, you know what? It is a really good interview. Okay, but can he host the show? Can he talk into the microphone?
Sure. So, like, that's a thing. Where are all these candidates going to come from? So that, and that's why we're going to have 5 or 6, more than that, actually, like I said, to begin, up to 10 this year, every single year. So you think the Dolphins are tanking in front of our eyes. What about, you know, the saying, sorry, not sorry?
Yeah.
The Browns are going to be tanking, I think, without trying to tank.
Yes.
Because that to me, again, I think Deshaun Watson wins the job.
Which is so unfortunate for all involved.
So, and by the way, I don't really care who does it. Yeah. They're probably equally piss poor, right? Watson or Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. There's probably a good chance that none of them can play at a decent level. So there's no more Myles Garrett. First year head coach, obviously, comes in. Todd Monken, offensive guy. They actually, I think, have some pretty decent weapons overall. But isn't this the team, after trying countless quarterbacks, going all the way back to Tim Couch in the late 90s, quarterback after quarterback, after, isn't this the team that finally looks at the board this year and says, yeah, we're winning three games, boys, because we want Arch Manning or we want some other quarterback to finally just say, enough's enough. We're moving on from Watson. Sanders is not the guy. And I don't know why the hell we drafted Gabriel.
Well, you want one of like the three, four guys that are at the top of the board. This feels like 2018 where there are going to be multiple franchise quarterbacks available, but you want to control which one falls. You don't want to just let other teams dictate it. And I think for Cleveland, that's the next step. Also, Arch Manning's available. Jimmy Haslam, Tennessee guy, relationship with Peyton Manning. I think that plays a major role here. And he has shown he's in no hurry to get this thing fixed and going in the right direction anytime soon.
Well, have they been in a hurry the last quarter century?
No, I love their win total under, Mitch.
Oh, you have to.
I love it. And I love them to have the worst record in football. I just, they're going to sell off parts. And what's funny is I love their draft, but that doesn't pay dividends year one.
No, it won't right away. By the way, that's the team to me, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm not Arizona. Like, Arizona's actually, I think, a pretty decent football team.
No, yeah, Jacoby Brissett's going to back them into wins.
They have tons of talent on offense.
Yeah.
The problem is it's an absolutely painful schedule. All the way to like their bye week around week 13. It's borderline impossible. They're not going to navigate that bad boy well. But I'm not betting 250 or whatever they are to have the worst record in football.
No, you can't.
So the Browns are like 11-1.
That's the one. That's the one that jumps out. If you're going to go for situation, lack of talent, also Todd Monken may be the most or the least inspiring head coach hire of the cycle.
Well, outside of the aforementioned Jeff Hafley.
Well, no, I think at least with Hafley, you're going, all right, he's going to make us a better team because the defense is going to limit whoever we're facing. And he's young, he's energetic. I don't know if he can lead anything, which is a big problem here, but he certainly brings like that the CEO mentality. Todd Monken is like 60 years old and he's never once sniffed being a head coach till right now.
Put it this way. They moved. This is where the organization is at. They decided to move on from Kevin Stefanski, two-time NFL Coach of the Year, yes, and hire 60-year-old Todd Monken.
It's a wild move. It's a bold move.
They think that's a possible upgrade?
You know what? That is, the way you're phrasing it with the sarcasm, you're right. The tank is on.
I think it has to be.
Todd Monken's addition is intentional because if you hire Monken and you move off him after 1 year, no one is going to argue about
absolutely
it.
Not.
No one is going to say, hold on, Todd Monken deserved a real shot here. They're going to say, well, that's why that guy was never a head coach before. The Browns can do better.
Yeah.
Good for Monken. He'll get paid, but
I think I got to bet him for, I think
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I mean, even though I think the Dolphins are the worst, they might back themselves into wins. If we're looking at this schedule, they're definitely starting 0-2. They're probably losing to the Panthers. I know I'm pretty low on the Panthers, but outside of the Jets, where's another win coming other than the Raiders?
Well, they play at the Titans. I'm not going to say they're going to go 0-17, so you have to circle some games.
Two to three wins.
They could win. They could beat the Colts week 17 at home.
Maybe.
Could they beat the Falcons week 14?
Even with Cooper Rush, I don't think so.
By the way, look at this stretch that they have. So they play three games in a row on the road, at Tennessee, at Pittsburgh, at the Saints. Then they get the Texans at home in week 10. After the Texans at home, it's bye, and then three more games at home. So they play, they're not leaving Cleveland for five consecutive weeks.
That's crazy.
Can they go on a run playing the Raiders, Bengals, Falcons?
You know what, maybe just because the Raiders, it'll be in the cold, and it's going to be played in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That probably gives them the edge there. But I see three, four wins max. That's why I like under 5.5 on them. You mentioned Watson starting. Shador's there. Dylan Gabriel's there. How many quarterbacks take snaps for the Browns this year? Taylen Green is also there from Arkansas.
Oh, good Lord.
Who I'm obsessed with him as a video game player. Sure. As a real quarterback, I don't think it works, but will over under 2.5 quarterbacks take snaps for the Browns?
You got to make the number 3.5.
3.5?
I would think.
So right? Then the question is, does Taylen Green play quarterback at all? Not Wildcat, quarterback.
That's a really good thought. I think they might start four quarterbacks this year.
I think eventually you will see every quarterback on this roster.
So we are on the same page with the Browns. I can't, your other team that you like with a win total.
Yeah, I'm a homer.
And you're Giants.
I like the Giants. I think people are making way too much. Well, one, let's start with the schedule. The schedule is not easy. Last year was the hardest schedule in all football.
Last year was extremely difficult.
So that's going to get lifted. A lot of complaining.
Yeah, but not much, though. Nah, the schedule still sucks. I know,
it does, but we're looking at 8 wins. We're not looking at getting to 9-10. And on top of that, let's also talk about the Dexter Lawrence situation. Everyone's complaining that they lost Dexter Lawrence. Guys, they were one of the worst run defenses with Dexter Lawrence. They've addressed that by bringing in pros that plug the middle that will limit the run. They address cornerback with Newsom coming in. Also linebacker with Reese and Edmonds there. The defense is going to be so much better. The offense wasn't an issue. The O-line wasn't an issue. Scataboo and Neighbors are healthy. They bring in Likely. There's an adult in charge now as a head coach. This isn't Brian Daboll or Joe Judge or Pat Shurmur or Ben McAdoo. It's John freaking Harbaugh. They're going to win 8 games.
Okay.
That's my belief, at least. I stand by it.
Are you betting anything else other than that? Are you going to go division? Are you going to bet them to win 9 games?
No, I'm just going to go over 7.5. And I gave more details if you check out the VSiN NFL betting guide right now. Whether you're betting futures, win totals, division races, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Super Bowl, our guide's going to help you get ready for the season in every way, shape, and form. You'll get breakdowns of every single team, projected win totals, and best bets from all of us here at VSiN. You can get it today with our football special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything at VSiN.com. Now through the Super Bowl, head to VSiN.com/subscribe.
Tonight's Major League Baseball card is up next. I'll tell you this, a lot of numbers stood out today, jumped off the page, which can be slightly scary. But we will go over and run down what caught our eye, some of our best bets coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that almost feels too good to be true. First, credit where credit's due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're getting involved with a few props and alt markets as well. There's one more layer if you really want to step things up, and that's VSiN Pro. I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month just $9.99 or save big with promo code POD26 on the annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right, back to the show.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
By the way, I need to pay off a tease from 20 minutes ago. Talking about new head coaches in the NFL, I threw out the possibility of this guy. Like, what if he's the new Sean McVay? And I get it. Like, there is that thought of, hey, it's a young mastermind. He's in his 30s, and he led the team offensively to places where they had never been before. Kevin O'Connell came in to Minnesota. We kind of had that same thought, like, it took off right away, and Justin Jefferson won the Offensive Player of the Year. Now, this is a team that I can't be too positive about because, again, the schedule is difficult, and their division is, like, it's maybe the second best in the entire league. But what if Kubiak, all things considered, what took place last year in Seattle to do that with Sam Darnold and to bring JSN to a level that was like Cooper Kupp MVP levels from a couple years ago? What if Kubiak is, like, the cat's meow when it comes to, like, play calling?
How many wins do the Raiders need for him to win Coach of the Year? He's 17-1. Brian Daboll won in 22, 9-7-1. Now they made the playoffs.
They have to be a borderline playoff team.
Yeah.
You can't go 8-9 and win Coach of the Year. I just don't see it happening.
Based on what I saw from Seattle last year, I do think he's a genius, by the way. I do think he may be on that level.
Oh, their stuff was... How was it every week that JSN, and JSN's obviously very good, but how was it every week it felt like he was wide open 29 yards down the field, and there he goes for like 70 yards.
And everyone knows he's getting, do you know how many times I would look at his reception prop online? I go, hold on.
Yeah.
Six and a, whatever it is, like crazy numbers, and he's getting home easily.
It got to the point of where it was higher than that, and the yards were, hey, he's 108 and a half today.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have zero desire to bet the under.
See, but okay, let's correlate this a couple ways. One, That's why I'm still looking at Brock Bowers, even though a tight end's never won offensive player of the year.
You brought it up on Monday.
But the other element, why are we not talking more about how Kubiak leaving Seattle, what that does to Sam Darnold? Now, Sam Darnold may have turned the corner that possible. Everyone thinks he did. I mean, I had him come back player of the year 2 years ago in Minnesota. I still think we should have cashed those tickets at like 100 something to one.
I'm right there with you.
I like Sam Darnold. I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but he does need to be coached up a certain way to be successful. I don't know why there's an assumption that the Super Bowl champs just pick up where they left off when they lost the guy who turned Sam Darnold into a Super Bowl caliber quarterback.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, I'm going back too many years now with McVay. Is it possible Kubiak is on the Ben Johnson tier of offensive minds / potential head coach in the league? Because the Bears are a team to me, just to tie it in here, that you want to talk about a difficult schedule. They certainly have it. And a team that has regression written all over based on how they fared last year. But I could not be higher on Ben Johnson and the Ben Johnson combo with Caleb Williams. I love them.
As a play designer, I think Ben Johnson's better than Sean McVay. As a leader of the overall program, we just have more of a track record with McVay to buy into, right? But watching the stuff he did with Detroit, I've never seen an offense run the way that it ran under Ben Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, that was with Jared Goff.
Very true. No, you're right. They did stuff that the one play call where he had Jared Goff pretend like he was stumbling. You remember that?
Yes.
And everybody on the team acted like, down.
Yeah, yeah.
And here you go, just like wide open in the end zone for a touchdown. Like, that's like, who? Where'd that come from? That's absolutely brilliant.
He's implementing improv acting into his offensive play design.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Think about that.
he's on a different level. Your Kubiak thing is interesting. This is another team that's going to be so much better week in and week out to bet on, especially as an underdog here in certain spots. But what do the results look like? Is the juice going to be worth the squeeze here? But there's no question in my mind they got the right guy. They got the guy they wanted.
Of all these teams that we're talking about now with 10, like how many 10 new coaches, how many coaches that were hired along with Clint Kubiak with one of these spots would you actually take a shot on rather than him? And he's unproven. He's never been a head coach before. There are not many.
I'd rather have Clint Kubiak 17-1 coach of the year than Joe Brady. How does Joe Brady show he improved the Bills? Win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but then is he in the mix with 13 wins?
Probably.
Because what does Josh Allen have to play? To your point, like what does Allen to like, hey, Brady's responsible for him throwing 58 touchdowns and running for 15 more.
They'd have to do what my theory on betting McVay is at 40-1 or Zach Taylor at 35-1. They have to win 15 games. He has to win 15 games, Joe Brady, for him to. And the goal isn't to win 15 games when you take over for Sean McDermott. It's to win the Super Bowl. Yep. So you're managing things way differently down the stretch here. Among the new head coaches,
you're not taking Mike McCarthy over Clint Kubiak.
I'm not taking Mike McCarthy over anyone on this list.
Neither am I.
I'll take Mike Vrabel despite the transgressions over Mike McCarthy. But top of the board, Jesse Minter, you can't do it for the same reason you can't take Joe Brady.
Right.
The expectation is already too high.
Yeah. And I'm just talking about, by the way, just to take a shot on for this guy to be the head coach of a team. Maybe Harbaugh, but also Kubiak is half his age.
Yep.
Stefanski, because he's won, you know, coach of the year twice. I can't make a case for any of these other guys that I'd rather have over Kubiak.
But I'd also add to your point.
Not to win coach of the year, but to be my coach.
Just to be your coach. Yeah. The age matters, the creativity matters, the lineage matters. Why are we not talking about Clint Kubiak like we talked about Kyle Shanahan when he got his shot? It's literally the same thing. His dad won a Super Bowl, right? He coached in the league for a long time. He earned this opportunity despite being young. I mean, I'm a big anti-nepotism guy, but when a guy proves he would have gotten the job anyway, like Clint Kubiak has, you throw it out the window.
I thought you were pro-nepotism.
Well, only when it involves me, but unfortunately, my family is a giant failure. They've not helped me with anything. If they would help me with things, I'd be pro it.
All right, we'll get to baseball coming up I promise we're going to do this in like 10 minutes. There is something I wanted to, like another market to attack in the NFL, because we had a rookie on the rundown to discuss for the San Francisco 49ers today.
Yes.
And So there are like glowing reports coming out of camp. And I want to make sure that I have all my ducks in a row here. It's Stribling for the San Francisco 49ers.
Speedster out of Ole Miss.
That's exactly right. They will miss him this year in college.
Take short things a long way. Make your quarterback look good. That's kind of the MO of the Shanahan offense.
So it's DeJuan Stribling who comes in. You're exactly right. Your guy to win the MVP is Brock Purdy. You have a great breakdown on this with the NFL Pro Betting Guide here at VSiN. VSiN.com/guide to go check that out today. Yes, you bring in Mike Evans. However, the news today about Ricky Pearsall is not great. He is dealing with that knee swelling related to the PCL injury that he suffered in November. The team said that all options are being explored and there is, quote, some concern. And that was like one of many tweets that came in today from not only reporters, but also like, what do you think of Twitter doctors?
I think it's a really interesting grift for some people that I don't know if they actually have medical credentials. There's other people who seem like they know what they're talking about because they've actually practiced.
They've actually done it before and they've been with a team before, much like Dr. David Chow.
Yeah. Like I use him as an example of someone who's actually done the job versus others who are speculating on the internet and claim to be a doctor.
Here's one other doctor on X, name is Jeff Mueller, who said that when they put out videos here of Pearsall running around with a knee brace on, that he's very curious to hear from training camp regarding Pearsall. He doesn't fully love how he's moving off of his right leg / knee. And maybe he's looked at those long enough to fool himself into thinking something isn't there. But he's hoping that he's healthy with the PCL. And he also said that he's got to get in the lab with him. He's concerned maybe about the hip extension overall on Pearsall. And it was just like a growing like sentiment today on X about Pearsall with what the 49ers were saying and what the videos looked like. So with Stribling, there are different markets that you can bet with rookies. Tip of the cap to our buddy Weston, who found this. How about to lead the league for rookies in receiving yards?
What's the number?
I got down on him today at 40-1. But here's the thing.
It's a great number.
I think books quickly moved this market off their apps and their betting menus based on this news today with Pearsall.
Sure.
Because several books had this specific market posted before today, and there was only like one or two that had it after the news came out.
Well, and also with betting Stribling, when does the electrical substation take him next?
Probably next week.
Because this has gone from conspiracy to something that might need an investigation. Get Pablo Torre on the case. Who's the competition? Because situationally, it's a kid who runs a 4.3 6.40.
Right.
And we've seen Kyle Shanahan create these studs out of nowhere. Juwan Jennings was not thought to be anything special. He just got paid in the offseason, right? Over the last few years, he's grown into a role with the Niners, but he was a late-round draft pick. They find ways to get the most out of guys. Stribling has a role just because of the electricity. And then you look at the other receivers who are in. Carnell Tate, plenty of mouths to feed. I think they brought in Wandale Robinson for a reason. Yep. Daboll loves him. Jordan Tyson has competition. Mekhi Lemon has A.J. Brown on the other side. Concepcion is blocked. I think that makes a lot of sense at 40-1.
Let's follow the money. We'll see. Took a shot on it anyway. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will get into today's Major League Baseball card and what we like with bets coming up next.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
I like days like today in Major League Baseball. You get a handful of games in the day. You get a bunch of games at night. It's not all one or the other. Like, right, the other day, well, the last 2 days, it was all at night, basically. A getaway day factors in, obviously. And I don't like those days where there are, like, it's all day games and then one game at night. That happened recently on a Sunday. Was it last weekend when the games were like we had nothing in the sports world at like 4 o'clock Pacific time?
Yeah, look, Rob Manfred loves Kathy Engelhardt. Is that her name who runs the WNBA? Because she is the only one who is more incompetent than he is at running a sport. Everyone's always like, why is baseball dying all the time? Well, because the guy in charge doesn't put it in front of the eyeballs that are necessary. He loses the ESPN deal.
Yep.
All sorts of reasons. Today's great because it's nonstop. It's like there's something new happening every couple hours. There's a few to pay attention to. And that also means late at night when it's normally the primetime window, you don't have to watch eight games at
once.
That's
true. Yep.
You get four or five. You're entertained all the way. You can track it and follow it. And also it's the summer. You should be having day baseball every day in the summer. There should be a marquee. They should do the deal where instead of Sunday night baseball, no, it's the day game of the day. Every single day, there's a different day game that's highlighted nationally.
And you can rotate it, obviously, in a different city. They did this for the first month plus after the 2021 season, and it was absolutely fantastic. There was at least one day game every single day for the first month to begin the year.
You mean to tell me these teams on a getaway day on a Tuesday wouldn't appreciate, you know what I mean? They wouldn't appreciate, or Wednesday, whatever it is, the opportunity to get done with their day, hop on a flight to get to the next city early?
Yep. Okay, so coming up tonight, a bunch of bets here. One, the Guardians-Reds game. Cantillo takes on Singer. Now, Jose Ramirez back from an injury about a week ago. Not exactly blazing it up. 5-25 since his return.
That's our MVP, by the way, you and me.
I know. I thought he had an angle before he got hurt.
Well, no, it was the correct play at the time. That was the guy.
So against Singer in his career, slash line of 387, 525, 742, 12-31 overall, five extra base hits, three home runs, two for five in the early part of the twin bill yesterday, 0-4 last night. He's also been unlucky overall when you look at the advanced numbers, like the expected weighted on base average. It's higher than the actual weighted on base average by almost 30 points. His expected slugging is more than 30 points higher than his actual slugging. His barrels compared to his hard hit rate, like, it's going to turn around for Ramirez at some point. Good history here. I played even money over 1.5 total bases tonight.
Oh, no. If you want to attack Brady Singer, that's the dude to do it with. This is such a get-right spot where you start to get the swing back, because Singer's never going to blow it by you. I don't understand how he's serviceable so for such large chunks of the season. This guy does not have overpowering stuff. You're right. If Jose Ramirez, especially in this ballpark, you could cash that on one swing of the bat.
Well, I'll bring this up again because I'm telling you, I confuse myself almost every single day. And there has to be some sort of like betting expert that would know the difference between the two or has tracked this for a long, long time.
Okay.
The difference between betting the total base prop for a player and the hits, runs, and the RBIs. Now, the deal is you're going to pay 30 cents more, maybe higher than that, for an individual player for the hits, runs, and the RBIs. My example would be today, Jackson Merrill has three really hard hit balls. He has one total base so far. I bet him over 1.5 total bases plus 116. I did not play the hits, runs, and RBIs over 1.5 because it was minus 130, minus 140. That would have cashed, but yeah. I did not play that one.
I've done the same thing where I did it with Paul Goldschmidt the other day. I went total bases instead of hits, run, RBI. I did it over the weekend with someone else and I regretted it. I just think we're at kind of a point where you just look for the bet that's more likely to win. To me, total bases, if you frame it this way, you're asking for an extra base hit. That's what you believe.
Basically.
Because the thought to ask for two hits in a game, with the way pitchers get taken out if they get into any trouble, and if you like the matchup, well, then that pitcher's probably not long for the cause. I think you just have to start looking at hits, runs, RBI. I know I do, and just laying that heavy juice there.
Lay $1.30, $1.40, $1.50, whatever it might be.
Yeah, because you're asking for something that's more difficult. We're also... Yeah. If you like the matchup for that hitter, you probably like it for others in the lineup, which means that they could help him by scoring runs or being on base for him to drive in. So you get over the 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI.
Touche. What have you done in this Cubs-Cardinals game coming up tonight as well?
Yeah, I'm on Matthew Boyd and Chicago in this spot. Boyd, last five starts, been pretty good, man. 2.67 ERA, solid on the road, 3.21 away from Wrigley Field. Last year versus St. Louis, three starts, a 1.69 ERA for him. And the Cardinals, middle of the road in most categories against lefties. Dustin May, Chicago hitter, small sample size, hitting 306 against him, 11-36. I wanted to take the flyer with the team that the pitcher and Boyd, who I think is going to have a better matchup with the offense on the other side. May, coming off six innings last start, but had an issue working deep into games a few starts ago. Cubs are 45-34 against right-handed starters this year. St. Louis, 9-12 in home division games. So with that, I went with the Cubbies here on the road.
As did I. I played them. I echo everything that you just said. The thing that concerns me is I'm a little concerned about the number. I think the Cubs should be like $1.20 in this game.
Well, I got $1.20 last night. It's coming down. We're on the wrong side.
It's going the other way. I don't understand the market move in this one. You got to respect the market.
Yeah.
This one, I don't understand at all. The Cubs, by the way, I know they can be a tricky team. They can score 10 runs for a week in a row, and then they can lose eight games in a row. Look at the Marlins this week against the Phillies coming in with a 12-game losing streak, but we're on the same side there. So there are a couple of players that really popped tonight based on Hancock stuff that he has for the Mariners.
Okay.
One would be Ohtani. I broke this down a little bit earlier, but against the exact stuff that Ohtani, that Hancock has as a pitcher, Ohtani absolutely thrives against, but he probably does it against most pitchers he's going to see. The other guy who really pops tonight based on Hancock's pitches is Max Muncy.
I had a feeling you were going to say Muncy. He just feasts on underwhelming fastballs.
So what's the play here? He's a little bit more than 3-1 to hit a home run, or you can find some actual tolerable numbers for the hits, runs, RBIs, and decent numbers for the total bases. Do we stick to our guns and just go hits, runs, RBIs?
I think we go hits, run, RBI, but it feels like a home run matchup.
I think it kind of feels like a home run matchup as well. But this is exactly what you're talking about. It's a high total in this game tonight. Other players look like they might be in for a prime spot here against Hancock and could be on base quite a bit here.
Yeah.
Presenting Muncy with some opportunities.
So I sometimes I look at matchups where I really dislike a starting pitcher. You do the DFS stack. You bet three guys and you hope go 2 for 3. And if you go 3 for 3, awesome.
Yeah.
With the hits, runs, RBI.
That's not a bad approach where you just, okay. Also,
split a unit up on three guys. That's what I would say.
There you go. And here's the deal. Lauer's numbers do not look good at all. When he's at home, Dodger Stadium, a 5.45 ERA. The whip is higher than 1.2. Does not have a high K rate at all. And there are some guys tonight for the Mariners. They scored a bunch of runs last night. I do not want to chase this Mariners team a night after they scored a ton of runs.
No.
But certain players in this roster tonight match up pretty well against Lauer's stuff overall. The problem is, like, the year fee's $1.45. The first three innings total is 3.5. The first five total is 5.5. Those are some pretty lofty numbers here.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to mess around with that. And Lauer makes no sense. He's Chris Taylor. He's Max Muncy. He's a guy who goes to the Dodgers and somehow gets better for no reason. Yeah. Like, there's nothing that you look at and what he's done where you go, oh, he's a totally different pitcher. He's this much better. But having the Dodgers on his uniform, somehow he's that much better. I don't really have a strong opinion in this game. The only thing I thought about was taking the under, because despite not liking Lauer, he's a lefty, and Seattle is god-awful against lefties this year.
Okay, that's good. That factors in big time then.
They're 18-12 to the team total under against left-handed starters.
18-12
to the under team total.
Okay. Here's one other thing I wanted to throw out there, and we're going to expand on our best bets coming up in about 10 minutes. What to do with Joe Ryan props tonight for the Twins, taking on the Royals? Because I'm thinking to myself, looking at the schedule last night, like, this could be it for him, right?
Yeah.
This could be the prime game where the Twins trot him out there for three innings and then yank him. I want to do a same game parlay on, like, under everything for this guy. However, they came back and won that game last night.
Uh-huh.
It was a miracle how they did it. John Heyman tweeted after the game, the Twins all of a sudden said they're looking to improve the team after the walk-off that got them to within a half a game of the wild card. So they're going to be buyers now. And obviously that means they're going to keep Joe Ryan and also catcher Ryan Jeffers.
Okay. But I still think your under's in play here. Joe Ryan missed, or his start was pushed back because he had arm fatigue. If they're contenders, then they need to manage him here and make sure he doesn't overdo it in this spot. The reason, actually, I think that he would go over was if they were trying to trade him at the deadline, because they're trying to showcase he's healthy to everyone that might be buying on him, because they want to make sure they get the best possible package in return. I think them leaning towards keeping him actually leans more towards the under here.
So his outs prop, as Mike Palm brought up last hour, 17.5 under his plus money.
Here's the problem. At home, I feel like he clears that number a lot.
Well, and do you trust the Royals offense to do any damage against him?
No, and I believe Pasquantino's on the IL right now, mm-hmm. as well. So that's another bat, one of the few bats who could probably do some damage with some power.
Yeah, are they going to get it from Witt tonight, from Perez?
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
I don't like the lineup at all, really.
No. I thought about the under in this game. Joe Ryan, 6-0 to the under when the total's 8-8.5.
Follow the money here on 6-0 to the under, you said?
Yeah.
Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll run down all of our best bets coming up in pocket plays next here.
an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
Dustin, do you concur if every bet was as easy as the Tigers yesterday, winning 14-0 over the Orioles, this would be a boring racket?
No, it'd be a lot more fun. I literally was watching as we were winning that bet going, I'm back. I've seen the board well, because that was a bloodbath.
Yeah, but where would the sweats come from?
Dude, I sweat when I eat. I don't need to sweat when I bet.
How about like if every winner was 14-0 like that, or every loser was done in the first inning of the first quarter, it wouldn't be very fun.
No, see, we
want like these 3-hour sweats,
no,
man.
No, my heart is not healthy enough for this. I want to be put out of my misery quickly so I don't have to track it anymore. And I want to know very early on if I have money to play with later.
See, I like winning games 14-0. I really do. It's a blast. But I'm just telling you that I need that. Oh my God, my team's about to blow a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter of a football game. I can't believe I'm catching 2.5. I can't believe I'm going to lose this bet.
You're being very Zen balanced in your approach. You want to find there is no good without bad. I cannot enjoy the positive without acknowledging what the negative feels like. You're being very philosophic.
Well,
you're like Nick Sirianni.
I believe like life has to be filled with balance.
Look at me. I don't do much balance.
Okay. The losers, I'm glad this series is over with because I got my bets wrong, including James Wood, who came to the plate yesterday like 5-6 times. They scored a zillion runs, and he lost both of his player props.
Which is like, you're probably looking at the box score going, oh, they score. Oh, he's definitely in the mix.
I just assumed that he was going to cash after I saw the box. Okay. Yeah. And then Bieber, here to your point, by the way, one of the reasons why I really liked him yesterday, he matched up well with Bieber. He was so bad, he's yanked right away.
Yep.
They got to go to the pen.
That kills me with hitter props. That is why, like, it is such a dangerous game where you can be too good. If your handicap is too good, your guys are going to have matchups that they don't like later on for you.
And that also speaks to there are 4,000 ways to bet these games.
Yeah.
Like, the Nationals were so good yesterday. Yurphy, first three over. Team total over first five. All of it got there, but I'm on the player prop that didn't get there. So you can handicap the baseball card 16 hours every single day.
And you can get it right and then go to the window with the wrong bet.
So those are the results from yesterday. All right, so tonight, bunch of them. Broke this down last segment. Jose Ramirez over 1.5 total bases. Even money coming up tonight. Great numbers against Singer. The Merrill bet is pending over 1.5. I got to double check that score. It's going on as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
3-1 last check. Padres over the Rockies. He needs another hit. Get on. Tonight, like the Cubs a lot. Little fishy number, though. Little fishy.
3-1, Padres won.
Yeah, so he didn't go over.
No, he finished Merrill 1-for-3 with a ribby.
Yeah, he never got back to the plate again. Okay. Cubs tonight, even money against the Cardinals. And other bets that I have on the baseball card, Max Muncy, yeah, found $1.30, over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs, and Joel Ryan under 17.5 outs, plus 132. Other stuff, there's a bunch of it. This might be it for tonight, but that's it for today. I added we'll put this on the board for tomorrow. I got down on Green Bay Packers win totals.
All thunders?
I'm anti-Green Bay this year. There are several reasons why. We can expand on this tomorrow. And by the way, the numbers for this team to like miss the playoffs, they're changing every single day they're going to miss. The market's telling you they're going to miss the playoffs. I played under 10.5 minus 155, and I played under 10 minus 135. I'm going to be shopping tonight for the best I can find under 9.5, under 8.5.
Yeah, I'm very low on Green Bay. I think Matt LaFleur is... he's ready to move on from Jordan Love. I'm not sure the organization wants to move on from Jordan Love.
Well, there's a lot of concerning stuff. I mean, the Parsons angle,
when does he play?
Maybe mid-October. And the more that you dive into and the more that I read about the trenches and the offensive line, defensive line, it's not good this year. And I think like almost every year under LaFleur, they've had a really good offensive line.
Yeah. Halfley gone. Josh Jacobs has a very bad situation legally currently.
It's a really good division, and I happen to love the Lions this year. So, yeah, I'm under on the Packers.
Yeah, I buy it. I'm with you there. All right. Redeemed myself some yesterday, and I've completely gotten annihilated today. That's what I would point out with the bets.
Baseball is a marathon.
It will. I am not built for marathons. I'm really not built for sprinting. It's like I found out hosting Cashing Out. I'm not a night person. Problem is, I'm also not a morning person. I don't really.
So what are you?
I'm like an 8:30 a.m. person. Like, that's when I want to wake up. To me, and I feel like adults don't do that. But last night went well. Here's the positive side of things. We hit the Tigers. We lost the Marlins team total despite a Stowers first inning home run. And it was only 3.5. Gavin Williams, K's get there. That's the ladder we should have been looking for. Yankees money line at the White Sox. Lambert over K's. Detmer over K's. Those two were plus money. That's where things stopped feeling good.
Well, you hit all your key props, so yesterday.
Yeah.
That's very strong.
Well, today it was not so much earlier, in case you were watching. Tarek Skubal does not get home on what I had on the picks page. Also, the Baltimore-Detroit under. Yesavage over K's. Jared Jones over K's. Those both fail. We did get Gabriel Hughes on the air under on his K prop. And here's what we got the rest of the way. We're trying to totally redeem ourselves. I'm on the Yankees at minus 140 against the White Sox. Schlittler's better on the road. Davis Martin's been getting hit recently. And I'm also on Schlittler over strikeouts tonight. I believe it's over 6.5, I want to say the number was. We're also going to back the Cubs together. I just like the matchup for Matthew Boyd and some of the numbers against right-handed starters for the Cubbies. And then give me the Rays money line. Ian Seymour is going to come in after an opener.
They lead 1-0 already.
And they're already up 1-0. Okay, I had this on the picks page earlier today, right before the show started. So I like Tampa Bay in this spot against Mackenzie Gore. Tampa Bay doesn't have the power against lefties they normally do, but they have the contact, they have the production, and Mackenzie Gore on the road is someone I'm always looking to fade. So,
he has had a wildly disappointing year.
Oh, there's a lot of hype behind Mackenzie Gore, not a lot of substance these days. The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away. This is your last chance to lock in the early bird pricing on our football special. It's just $175 right now. You get instant access to the NFL betting guide, which previews the NFL season from a future standpoint. August 3rd, the college football betting guide drops. Previews of all 138 FBS teams, power ratings, best bets from all of us here at the network. Plus, you're also going to get Fantasy Life's Fantasy Football Guide, over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. You'll get VSiN Pro access now through the Super Bowl with all the best bets from every show. All the picks we were talking about are up there. AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video. This is all before the price goes up on August 1st. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now.
Schlittler's K prop is 7.5 juiced over tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe it moved.
Let me see what because I got. I might have gotten that.
The screen is moving right now.
DK, 7.5 plus 107, I did.
Yeah, DK is now at minus 120 on him.
Okay, so I got plus 107. I threw it up last night. What could go wrong with CLV? It's as good as winning a bet.
You're not kidding. Let me ask you this. You're getting married in April?
Yes.
How often, like right now, are you on your phone like every night tracking scores or bets that you have?
Are you my therapist right now? Because this is a conversation we have. I'm on my phone all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I wish I had, I brought it up. I wish I had advice for you, but this is a problem that I have.
No, this is our life.
And my wife calls me out all the time for it. I'm just like, but I'm not watching the game.
Yeah.
This is my way of actually just like checking out the scores right now.
Because in our sick minds, we're like, we're doing you a favor. We're not watching the game right now. We're just following on the internet. And they go, either way, you're not present in the room.
That's correct. And they have a point.
They do.
Lorraine Epstein, when she brings this up to me, I'm like, okay, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, but here's the argument. I'm going to have to make up that time at some point anyway. Why not just be able to track it there and be a part of the conversation? Look, I'm not playing that big of a role in the conversation as it is.
Yeah, I'm not adding much either.
Yeah.
You're doing 98% of the talking, so.
I'm not that helpful. That's one thing I've learned. Like, yeah. I'm 41 years old. Mike Gundy says I've been a man for a year. I am not an adult, and I'm learning the hard way.
So you don't have, like, a lot of solutions around the house when there's a problem. Hey, how do we fix this? I need to take care of something over here. Dustin, can you come over and give me a hand?
I actually find solutions are sometimes the worst thing I can bring to the conversation.
Yeah. Because
because they're usually the wrong solution.
The wrong idea. Yeah. Okay.
Because most notably, it's my idea. Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that lately too. It's like trying to, like you said, I think this is relatable for anybody, by the way. I'm trying to be there in the moment, but yet.
No, it's a.
Hold on one second. I got to make sure that. Yeah.
I'll give the fiance credit. She pointed it out early in the relationship. She's like, I'm not mad. I just want to bring this to your attention. You have a tick that whenever there's silence in the room for more than 3.5 seconds, you open your phone and you refresh Twitter to see what's happening instead of just sitting there for another 2 seconds in silence till a conversation starts.
I will open the phone when Lorraine is talking to me about something and I'll start like checking scores. And I'm like,
I don't even realize I'm doing it.
Neither do I. And I just know when I'm done, I'm like, she knows I'm not paying attention to anything she's saying right now.
Well, no, the problem is later on what was said gets brought up and then I get outed for not being able to multitask.
Oh, you don't remember what I told you? That's right. Cause you were on your phone.
Yes,
every time.
Yeah. Every time.
Oh, 100%. All right, stay tuned. VSiN Primetime next. Femi Abebefe, Doug Kazarian in. They're going to take you through the live betting night. And oh, by the way, 9 o'clock Eastern. Don't miss the second episode of the Circa Survivor documentary. Then it's back to more primetime right after. Good luck with the bets tonight.